Accession number 4662, riddle number 8.
Anderson Reel 8, you were describing your correspondence course as a navigator.
Yes, I completed this course and found it very interesting, and just about the time of the examination we had to take part in a flying display at Heliopolis, and I requested permission to have 3 days leave to sit this examination. At first I was refused because they couldn't spare a pilot, but eventually my flight commander or squadron commander agreed with me that I had to wait another year, which would be too late to take examination, and agreed to fly one aeroplane short during the rehearsals, and I took my place on the final day. In those 3 days leave, I sat for the examination, which I did not find really difficult. I had studied very thoroughly, and I found it interesting, though a bit of a fight against time, like most examinations, but I finished it, and had my practical test of signalling, which, fortunate for me, was a warrant officer of the Royal Air Force signals branch at Heliopolis, who took the examination. He said, "You're not a wireless operator by any chance?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, good Lord, what's a good examining you is that you pass signalling," which was semaphore and lamp signalling, which of course wasn't so very difficult. He just didn't trouble to examine me. He said, "You wireless operators, come along. Waste of time trying to examine you." So all my marks, all told, I passed quite well. Examination came through to the mess where I was at Ismailia, and the doctor, all my fellow sergeant members and friends in the mess were quite excited when they saw a letter from the Air Ministry for me in the mess letter rack, and they actually brought it to me at breakfast time. They said, "Look, open it, let us know." Of course, I had to open this letter right in front of all my friends. I was horrified in case I had a failure. But very fortunate, it was a good pass, and of course, much slappy on the back and congratulations, and I had passed examination, and owing to my flying experience, navigational experience in a squadron as a squadron pilot, my many hours of flying, I applied for a navigator's license, civil air pilot's navigator's license, which was granted to me, and so I became a civil air crew, whatever you call them. So that was part of my preparation for going into civil flying. It was the first step anyway. Now I had to get my flying license now, a pilot's flying license, for which I hadn't qualified because I hadn't done any night flying. So by this time, my service, our squadron had been dispersed, at least personnel of the squadron had been dispersed, and because we'd come out in an emergency, and they thought, well, we ought to be sent home again to make up for lost time and lack of leave of 3 years, lack of leave. We lost our leave when we left England, and we hadn't had any leave, long leave, while being overseas, and the hardships, they said, for serving in the desert, we'd have 3 years leave when we got to England. So I got to England and went on, first of all, 28 days leave, but that didn't last very long, and once again I was recalled, it was urgent required. So I went off this sort of emergency again. I found myself going at a place in Wales. This was a temporary summer camp only, and they were quite amazed when I turned up. I said, "We don't want you here. We've got enough people to do the work. It only happened to be a vacancy, that's all. There wasn't a work for all the pilots. There was quite enough there to carry on, but there it was. On paper, there was a vacancy for a pilot." And, of course, I had just got hold of me and sent me there. Anyway, it's a little interesting. Went on to Wallace Aircraft there, up-to-date version of the Wapiti, with a Townsend cowling round the engine and inertia starter, but very nice aeroplane to fly, quite smooth, enjoyed flying it. And the first time I'd flown an aeroplane with brakes on the wheels and a canopy over my head, I could close a canopy, which is quite unusual. I hadn't flown one before, but seemed a very comfortable aeroplane to fly. Anyway, I flew on towing targets for anti-aircraft guns. It was a summer practice training camp and didn't require much expertise to do this job. I just tanked up and down while they fired at the targets, either short bursts, or that means firing short before they reach the target, or firing at the target. And this came to an end, and our base being Biggin Hill, we had to fly aircraft back to Biggin Hill, where our summer training had come to an end. The flight was disbanded, and being in flying training command now, I was sent to Hornchurch on fighter aircraft on Gloucester Gladiators. Once again,
this was 54 squadron.
This was 54 squadron at Hornchurch. Once again, it was a new aircraft, and they looked quite nice aircraft to me. And the only experience you had, you got one of your fellow sergeants to tell you what knobs to press and pull, how it flew, and he gave you a little idea. It's the first time another new innovation, this aircraft had air brakes. We'd never flown with air brakes before. He said, well, you just experiment with them, you'll find out how they work. So I became a fighter pilot. I did usual training, start off with circuits and bumps, we called it, circuit and landing, and learned to operate the air brakes, and soon got used to them. But after a time, I found flying as a fighter squadron very uninspiring. Just battle climbs to nothing at the end of it and come down again, and formation flying. My flight commander said to me one day, I want the best aerobatic flight for Hendon, because the gladiators used to do the tied together aerobatics rolls and things like that. So we were practicing aerobatics in formation, like rolling, doing rolls in formation. He said, I want the best aerobatic team at Hendon. But I got really bored with the fighter. I've been so used to different work, types of active work, that I didn't want all inspired. And I wanted my night flying on heavy aircraft, though I did night flying in gladiators, but few and far between. So I applied through my squadron commander and wing commander for a posting to a heavy bomber squadron or a general reconnaissance squadron or light squadron, where I could get some night flying and twin engine work in as a qualified navigator. And if I had my term of service for finishing about a year's time, I wanted this experience. And the answer came back very quickly. I was posted to the School of Air Navigation at Manston, flying twin engine Anson aircraft. They weren't a heavy aircraft, only a light aircraft really, but did plenty of flying and night flying as well. On navigation exercises over the North Sea, all over England, probably do an exercise up to Scotland during the day, fly back by night, or fly to Belfast by day, come back by night. So we've got a fair amount of night flying experience, or get off at night, fly down to Cornwall somewhere, and come back again. Besides normal navigational, dead-rate navigational, we did astro-navigation, got a high altitude above all clouds and such like, so take reading of the stars. The School of Air Navigation was really training permanent commissioned RAF officers of some experience who wanted to qualify for a specialist category, because that's the only way to get way to stay in the Air Force, to be a specialist of some sort. So officers always try to get a staff college course or a navigational or armament, and they had this initial in the Air Force list, N or an A or Air Staff College, against their name, the Air Force list. And that was one way of trying to get on in the service. You had to specialise in some subject. And, of course, we had to have staff pilots to fly these people around. Now, just a staff pilot, those some senior officers used to look at the sergeant, well, what's he doing here? Because the thing they objected to, they had to wind the undercarriage, irrespective of their rank, they had to wind only a hand-turning handle, about 100 turns of quite a heavy handle, to wind the undercarriage up. Then just used to point the handle and go like that. Respect of rank, I was a captain of the aircraft, and there was one time there was a complaint that why should the senior officers wind up undercarriages for sergeants, and they were told, sergeant is your captain, he's in charge of the aircraft, he does what you're told, it's your job as first navigator or second navigator to wind up the undercarriage, you will do it. That was the answer to that. So it was quite interesting, a lot of flying, night flying as well, and we used to do such exercises out to turning points, the various light vessels off the North Sea. And also we used to intercept vessels leaving the Channel Islands. We knew 11 o'clock one would leave somewhere, some port there, for Newquay, and at the precise time they're supposed to be leaving harbour, we'd take off for interception. They had to calculate their speed and our speed. They can counter wind, and we'd fly over the channel towards the interception point. And we used to get the interception point. We'd sort of shoot up this steamer just to relieve them, knock me out of flying over the sea, low fly by it, over it, past it, all sorts of things. So we got a complaint from the officials to the air ministry saying that no doubt this is a wonderful exhibition of highly skilled pilots, but it terrifies the passengers. Would you please ask this pressure to cease? So we got a notice round to all pilots not to shoot up the cross-channel vessels in future. So that spoiled our little bit of fun we used to have. But then, of course, service coming to an end. It was a very sad period in a way after 12 years service, but I had applied, just to be allowed in those days, to 3 months before once service had finished, if you've got a civil job to go to apply for a discharge in advance of your completion. I did it about a month ago. Now they'd been accepted the job at a civil air navigation school, and I applied for release in February. I think I left the Air Force in 1939, whereas my service should have gone until March, which was counted as 12 years anyway. But to join this flying school, who flew Air Force or Air Ministry aeroplanes, training would be air observers. It was an AON school then, Air Observer Navigation School, and they were civilians, but the service belonged to the Air Ministry, and if we passed them out, the navigators out in their navigation course, they were accepted by the RAF as the NCOs into the RAF. So I had to join the reserve to fly service aircraft, but my term of service had finished. So I had to join the reserve for 3 years, get this job. So I applied for re-engagement of my service career to 3 years on reserve, which of course they obviously granted me 3 years of reserve as an RAF pilot. And then of course my release came through, and I walked out of that job, drove my car up to Nottingham, and carried on navigational flying as I was at the navigational school. And different was, I got about four times as much pay and wore sports jacket and flannels for flying instead of uniform. So that was the end of my first period as an NCO, airman through the ranks up to sergeant in the Royal Air Force.